Today's episode is brought to you by the NBA Store. I know, the NBA Store. I know we're sidelined from going to the game, but it doesn't mean we can't sit back on our couch and wear our favorite team's NBA swag. So, Podgo, Weebcast, and the NBA Store have partnered together to join forces, combine our powers, to give you up to 75% on select items. And all you have to do is go to podgo.co/NBA, and there you can choose items that are up, select items that will be up to 75% off. So make sure you guys go do that. It's the NBA. It's where amazing happens. Hey, thanks for stopping by on the Weebcast Show, the number one anime and manga show on the internet, with your boy. That's me, C-Dub. Welcome back. I hope you've been enjoying your lives. Hopefully 2021 has been treating you right after this first month. And now we're into the second month of 2021. Hopefully things are looking up for everybody. But welcome. Thanks you for staying in. Especially because I'm excited that you've come by on this episode. Because I'm going to be talking about one of my favorite shonen animes, and that's Bleach. Specifically, I'm going to be talking about the Espada. And the Espada is a powerful group of Arrancars who serve Lord Aizen and Hueco-Mundo. And each one of them was a powerful hollow before becoming an Arrancar and ultimately an Espada later. And I've always wondered how many were actual Vastra Lorde. Because Toshiro, Hitsugaya, you know, Bleach's Wonder Boy, did say that if gathering enough of them would be the end of Sarite. And since I'm guessing the actual number was not that high. You know, much like many factions in Bleach, I love the diverse characters that make up this awesome group. And while we got some screen time development, some of the Espada got more screen time development than the others, collectively, they're all pretty freaking awesome to me. And for today's and this week's list, you know, I'm going to go over my favorite Espada from least to most favorite. While I will take into accountabilities, accomplishments, and overall design, most of this will be subjective, okay? Obviously, there's going to be spoilers, so be on the lookout for that. And also, this list only contains members during the Arrancar invasion arc, so it won't include former Espadas like Neliel. So sorry about that, Neliel fans, but I will be basing my analysis on just the anime only here, maybe with some manga influences, but just for this list, just to make things a little more easier, a little more concise, it will be a little bit more on the anime side. So, if you're ready, and you're ready to be mad at my favorite Espada list and how I rank them, make sure you stick around, make sure you get a drink, get a snack, because I think we're in for a pretty unique and interesting ride. I'll see you on the other side. Welcome back, and you're tuning in into Weebcast, number one anime manga show, and I'm listing my favorite Espada from my least favorite to my most favorite, and we're going to start off with number 10. We'll start it off big. And number 10 is Espada number 5, Nonoicha Gilga, with Despair as his aspect of death. And you know, he first appeared in episode, I think, 145, and he's really tall. He's lanky, and unlike Yami, he's, you know, who's tall and muscular. And he wears his traditional Espada outfit, but with a spoon shape covering his head, and that's, you know, that's why we like calling him that's why he's our favorite spoonhead. And Nonoicha always seems to be smiling, and it's kind of a prick to the other Espada. And his main motivation is to be the strongest. And he can't handle it when someone else is better than him, especially when that person is a woman. And this is why he hates Nell and worked with Sizil Porto to kill her. Which I think people forget that, you know, that happened. But it's really interesting how his weapon changed from his past self to now. Because I don't think that was ever given any explanation. But you can see the progression in his power as it went from 2 crescents to 4, which that's pretty cool. And Nonoicha mentions, I'll give a little overview, and then I'll do his accomplishments and abilities and why he's ranked at this point. But Nonoicha mentions to Kenpachi Zaraki that his Hiro is actually the strongest among all the Espada, and that no blade can cut it. Obviously, Zenpachi Zaraki proved this to be false, you know, by actually killing him, but it's still quite strong, and it took a while for Kenpachi to, you know, hack and slash to damage him. And Noichiro can actually fire arrows from his tongue, which is quite unique for an Arrancar, I think. And he's able to sense the power of abilities of others. You know, one example is when he analyzed Kenpachi's abilities during the fight, during his fight against Tercera. And the Noichiro can actually throw his Zanpakuto across long distances and pull it back using a chain connected to his uniform. Santa Teresa is his Zanpakuto, and it's a long staff that has four large crescent blades at the end, which is pretty unique, I think, considering most Zanpakutos are swords. And his overall resurrection power is that it enhances his base abilities pretty much. So, you know, also each arm gets a staff, you know, that has one crescent blade. And also gains some of the following powers. You know, he gets the ability to create more copies of his weapons. He can regenerate his limbs at a pretty quick rate. The Noichiro can grow an extra set of limbs. And, let's see, some of his accomplishments. I guess he defeated Nell, technically. Rising to the ranks of Espada number 5. Pretty cool. And giving Kenpachi a pretty damn good battle. So, why is he ranked 10th, you're asking? Well, the problem that I have with Noichiro is that he's an Espada version of Kenpachi. And if you don't believe me, hear me out. Both live to fight. Both barely use any special abilities associated with their groups. Their skins are very tough and are shown to be hard to cut. They both have a yellow aura that surrounds them. Something covers one of their eyes. Even their fighting style is pretty similar in that both utilize their strong skin. For example, both of them grab Ichigo's blade, ignoring the sharpness. Both have long black hair and a tall body. See? I mean, the only major difference we saw besides appearance is that Kenpachi and Noichiro reasons for not killing off weak opponents, you know? You know, Kenpachi will do it because it's no fun, and Noichiro needs people alive to acknowledge him as the strongest. You know, and my other gripes with him is that he's kind of annoying and a sore loser, and it's really hard to like a character that has a strange obsession with those who defeated him. And this brings me to another similarity, that both characters obsess over those who beat him, now that I think about it. And for Kenpachi, it's Ichigo, and for Noichiro, it's Nell. I mean, the only difference is that Kenpachi is played for laughs here, while Noichiro is downright kind of creepy here. You know, beyond his fight with Kenpachi, there's really nothing else about this character that I particularly enjoyed. But let's move up to another spot, to number 9, with Espada numero 8, Sauza Porio Grants, with Madness as his aspect of death. Now, let's sum up Sauza Porio. He first appeared also in episode 145, and Sauza Porio is the scientist among the Espada. You know, he seems quite calm, methodical when you first meet him. You know, however, during his battles with the Shinigami, he can become crazy and a little bit psychotic. You know, but normally he's a cold, calculated son of a bitch, and even though he shows no emotions when learning about his brother's death, you know, interestingly enough, Aizen demoted him from being an Espada sometime in the past, so he's one of the only Espada to return to his position. Some of his abilities, I guess, and he's a brilliant scientist who's shown to create very interesting devices. You know, for example, he created a device that tricked Nell into attacking the Noichiro that was merely an illusion. But his best invention is his Fraction, which he can consume to heal any injuries received in the battle. And while not much of a fighter, he has some competency with a sword, but he prefers to rely on his brains and his mighty intellect. You know, for example, he's able to create traps and analyze his opponent's Ryatsu. He created his own fraction so he can eat them when he needs to. But his Zanpakuto, Funidikatas, is the name of Zanpakuto, and when in his released form, he gains the following abilities here. The ability to protect his bodies with the newly grown tentacles. He can create clones of his opponents. He can liquefy his body to control a target that eats him. If his wings consume an opponent, he can create a voodoo doll that contains the organs of that person. If he breaks the organ, that organ in that person's body will break for real. His final ability, though, is to the xenomorphs from the Alien movie franchise. When injured, Sasaporeo can impregnate an enemy using part of his own body. That part will consume the victim until he bursts from the body. Man, this weird son of a bitch. But Sasaporeo's main major accomplishments here are helping the Noitra defeat now, helping Mayuri posthumously find a way to escape Kawakamundo, and his awesome scene where he fights Shuden in hell, which I thought was pretty cool. Check that out. And being really unique and having a cool resurrection power, really. But why is he ranked 9th, you ask? Well, the problem with Sasaporeo and the other spot is that they seemed forced to me. You know, because the Soul Society has a scientist, so I'm like, hey, the Espada needs a scientist as well. You know, I noted the same issue with Nonocha. You know, they definitely make him a little bit different than Mayuri, but not different enough. You know, from a personal standpoint, I just forgot about his character altogether. And true, I remembered that the Espada had a scientist, but that's really about it. And I had to rewatch the episodes with him and look up stuff. You know, I had to watch him, rewatch the arc just so I can do this episode. And especially for him, because I forgot so much about him. But his character did seem a little forced for me. That's why he is at number 8. But moving on to number 8. I'm sorry. Sasaporeo was at number 9. Number 8 on my ranked of least two favorites, Espada. Number 8 is Espada. Number 7, Zomri Reruch, with his intoxication as his aspect of death. Also, I think he appeared in episode 145 as well. His first appearance, I mean. And look, I actually really like Zomri, right? I, like I said, I ranked him higher than Sasaporeo and Noitra. I don't think a lot of your favorite anime talking heads would even dare to do that. But Zomri is actually really cool, both terms of his design and abilities. You know, he has white horns and his skull earrings, almost like a witch doctor kind of thing. And compared to the other spot, he's a little more refined and a little more professional as a hollow. And although he changes that towards the end of his fight with Byakuya, you know, when it's clear that he's really about to meet his end, though, even the way he berates Anu no Niro, who was rather respectful, all things considered. And also, not like it matters, but I enjoy his English dubbed voice over his Japanese voice. How about you look that up on YouTube and let me know? But weirdly, he has two voices, and it really kind of really messed me up here. But because of one moment, I heard a deep accent, and the next it sounds like Yamamoto, which I think it was. But we don't really get a flashback and limited to a couple scenes with him, which kind of sucks. But which is a little disappointing considering how cool of a character I think he is. You know, he's quite chatty among all the Espada fights. You know, he might have a little more dialogue than actual fighting, which is a stark contrast to Grimmjow's fights. I mean, he argues with Byakuya about who is arrogant, kind of, you know, and became very annoying. And Zomri likes to pass judgment a lot on others and cannot take losing very well. And also, Zomri has actually no fraction. So let's move on to his accomplishments and his abilities. Let's start with some of the abilities, though, first. Zomri is very fast. And he claims to have the fastest Sonido, which is the Aranka version of the Flash Step for the Espada here. But after watching Stark and Ucleodor Cypher in action, you know, I highly doubt that to be actually true. He's kind of like the birder. In Bleach, you know how you remember Birder and Dragon Ball Z when he's like, I'm the fastest in the universe. That's actually not a bad Birder voice, but yeah, he's kind of like the Birder, and then, you know, claimed to be the fastest, and then, you know, quickly became not the fastest literally that same episode. But let's not take that away from his speed, which is still pretty impressive. You know, Zomri is so fast that he can create clones of himself. And unlike other Arrancar, he does not use techniques like Bala, which I thought was interesting. Brujera is the name of his sword, of his sword release, and is might one of the coolest sword releases among the Espada. To release his sword, he floats the sword above the ground and then claps his hands and turns his head completely sideways. His appearance changes significantly after his resurrection, and Zamara's torso is not inside of a bulb and covered by many eyes, and he can actually go inside the bulb for protection. And I think his 58 eyes can control one object per eye. And if he controls a body part, like the head, he gains control of the entire body. The ability is like Hado, as Byakuya kind of figures out. I think we get to see him explain his abilities a little bit more in, I think, Bleach episode 197, for if people who want the reference there. But, you know, why is he ranked A? So, besides fighting Byakuya, there's nothing that Zamari does in Bleach, unfortunately. And then the fight against Byakuya was the worst of all the Espada battles. Which, I guess we say, isn't technically a bad thing, because there was a lot of good Espada battles, but he did have particularly one of the least exciting ones. I mean, why did Zamari not use all of his eyes on Byakuya? And he has this broken ability, and he just doesn't use it? But my main issue is the lack of impact here. I think his abilities and design are interesting, but they do not, they don't do much with the guy. So, moving on to number 7 of my favorite Espadas. So number 7 is going to be Espada number 9. Eronieiro Anure is Greed. I think his greed was his aspect of death. Also, again, his first appearance was in episode 145, and due to his long name and being in a pain to not only write and say, I'm going to refer to him as Aaron for the rest of this episode. But Aaron is pretty the most mysterious of the Espada, because we never see his face until very much later. You know, he's the only Gillian level Menos member in the Espada, and the last of his generation of the Espada. You know, and Aaron doesn't have a fraction or the ability to use typical Espada powers like Gran Reysero or Bala. Aaron is actually two hollows in one, you know, or with two heads in a glass container. Apparently, they do not want to, you know, they don't want to explain their appearance, which implies that they get asked about it a lot. And side note, how did Rukia not know that Eren was not Kaien Shiba before exposing them to sunlight? After all, Kaien Shiba is 6 feet tall, and Eren is 6 feet 8 inches. You know, it's kind of quite of a difference, but whatever, moving on. Let's move on to his abilities and then his accomplishments here. Eronieiro is able to absorb hollows, and it was due to the unlimited potential of this that he was able to join the Espada, actually. He absorbed Metastasia, a hollow who took over Kaien Shiba's body. So by absorbing Eren, gained Kaien's powers and memories, including his Zanpakuto. And he's also quite fast, you know, able to dodge Rukia's attacks and move across the battlefield with ease. And Eren can absorb hollows and gain their abilities and memories. I think by the time he fights Rukia, or they fight Rukia, he's absorbed over 33,000 different hollows, which is pretty cool, actually. And when in disguise, he can change his appearance to match any hollow that he has absorbed. Glotononera is his Zanpakuto sword release, and his release form is a large manifestation of his body, with each head in the glass becoming one half of this monstrosity. And besides the appearance, Eren does not gain. And besides his appearance, Eren doesn't really gain any extra abilities from this release. And his two main accomplishments is being the only Gillian to become an Espada, which is impressive, and absorbing over 33,000 hollows. There was an exact number given. I don't know if it was in the manga or the anime, but I think it was 33,600 150. I'm positive. My someone might have to fact check me on that. But you're asking, why is this guy ranked 7th, though, Chris? Anunero is actually really unique among the Inspire, especially the concept behind his ability. I really enjoyed the plot point of view of how he connected to Kai and Shiba's death. But why he ranks lower than the others is due to a couple of things. You know, while his design is interesting, his Zanpakuto release was disappointing. And much like Zomari, we do not see much of him, but at least we learn a little bit more. And he never uses any abilities that he absorbed other than Kaien and Metastasia. I don't hate the character, but he's a little one of the highest in my book, so it is what it is. I'm going to go into number 6 now, and we're kind of reaching to the midway point of the list. We're getting closer. And, so you're going to be wondering where I'm going to be placing some of the more popular characters. And you're going to see one of them here coming up with number 6. And my number 6 Espada on my favorite Espada list is Espada number 4. Yeah. You quote Eucliora Cypher with emptiness as his aspect of death. Now, you can put me on the cross a little bit later, but let me explain. His first appearance was in episode 100 and... What was it? 100 episode... 113, I'm sorry. And Eucliora is one of the Espada with the most amount of screen time and plot relevance in the series. He's very cocky. But he also very emotionless and calculated. His devotion to Aizen is pretty much absolute. His appearance has often been joked to be quite similar to L from Death Note. And he's able to remain calm in most situations. But Aizen has respect for his intelligence, which says something considering how smart Aizen is. Moving on to his abilities and accomplishments. You know, Eucliora has an impressive Sonido and Hiro. You know, Eucliora is very cocky, and one of the ways he shows this is by using, his hands, using his hands over his Zanpakuto. You know, his Hiro is so strong that it could block Ichigo's Tensa's Zangetsu with one hand. In fact, Ichigo takes pride in forcing him in to draw his blade. I mean, most Hollows give up their regenerative abilities in exchange for powers when they become a Rankar. But Eucliora kept his and showed this when his eye regenerated after removing it. And he does this to show the other Arrancar, what he's experienced. And he can use Bala and Descourier, which allows him to open up a path between the human world and Hueco Mundo. You know, when they open that, it's like the seams of the sky starts to break open, and this you see the black, gritty background, and that step over. That's what Descourier is, and his Zanpakuto is Murciélago, and basically when Eucliora releases it, his appearance resembles pretty much that of a bat. You know, he can create green spears that can be used as projectile or for close combat. All of his base abilities are enhanced. And in this form, he can fire, Seto Oscuras. But Eucliora is the only Espada with a second release form. And in this form, his uniform is completely gone and becomes more beast-like. You know, his wings and tail are very fast, but used as shields and offensive weapons as well. You know, much like his first release, he can create a lance that can be used as a projectile or used for close combat range. The name Lanza del Relampago, and when this projectile hits its target, it's almost like a nuclear bomb just went off. His accomplishments, he successfully got Orihime to go to him with Hueco Mundo, and whenever you get able to go on a date with Orihime, I mean, that's a win. And he defeated Ichigo 2 times. But why are you asking why is he ranked 6th and not a little bit higher? Before going over the negative, let's just say that his fight against Ichigo is one of the best in anime history, especially in recent anime history. And if I was going off of that, then he maybe would have been ranked a little higher. But I'm looking at everything, and compared to the others higher on the list, he just did not leave the same impact. It was hard to latch onto something that made me like him. I really could not stand him and enjoyed his death at the hands of Ichigo so very much. Now let's move up to number, you know, actually before we get to the top five, let's take a little quick break. Let's take a breath. Let's refuel, get some more coffee, get another drink of water, refill on that snack. And on the other side, we're going to go do my top five. We're going to the top five of my favorite Espadas. And it's going to be great. I got some interesting picks. I'm not going to spoil them right now, but just stick around and we'll see. All right. I'll see you on the other side right now. To Weebcast, and you're listening to the number one anime and manga show on the internet, and I'm doing my top 10 Espadas from least to favorite, and now we're on number 5, and I already had a surprise one, putting Inukuyori at number 6, maybe, and this number 5 pick might be a little bit surprising as well, but number 5 is Espada number 10 and 0, yes, you know him, you love him, maybe you hate him. Yami Yayargo with Rage as his aspect of death here. His first appearance was also 113. And Yami is a physically imposing individual who's over 7 feet tall, 6 inches, and packed with muscles. And for some reason, I'm always drawn to the largest characters in stories, especially in shonen history, in shonen aspects and stories, I mean. It's one of the reasons why I like Kenpachi so much. Because, like I said, the imposing figure matched with the abilities. If it's a good match, I'm in it. I'm all for it. And Yami early on in the series doesn't appear to be so much of a big threat. You know, Ichigo was able to stop him from just using Bankai. You know, and Kisuke made a fool out of him when he returns to the human, when he returns to the world of living. And I think even Ukliora, someone who Yami respects, probably doesn't really take him that seriously. However, Yami is a major threat and far more intelligent than he actually comes across. The issue is that he's impatient and prefers to overpower his opponents rather than relying on some strategy. For his accomplishments, I mean, we'll start with his abilities and his accomplishments. Yami's Hiero was able to tank some of Uru's strongest attacks. He was unharmed by Loli Avrine's resurrection with erodes. Anything she touches, you know, will just erode like to acid. Yami can use most of the Arrancar abilities, including Bala and Cero. And I don't recall him ever using Sonido, though. If someone has something from the manga or from the anime where he uses Sonido, but I don't remember, at least in my rewatch, I didn't see it, but... His most unique ability on Gonzui, which allows him to suck the souls from people. And I'm not talking about your favorite waifu here, but I'm talking about where he would just stand in with a group of people and just, man, open that chest compassion and just start sucking, bro. He's the only Espada, though, who can store energy while he sleeps. I thought that was pretty cool. And this is the only way he can store enough energy to use his resurrection. His Zanpakuto name is Ira, and when he releases it, Yami pulls a great reveal that he's actually Espada number 0, making him the strongest member. And I am confused about why he's able to release his Zanpakuto in Las Noches when Ukiyota said it was forbidden because it could destroy it. And, you know, anyways, in this form, Yami is gigantic and takes the form of a centaur. Only replaced with the horse half with a centipede with like 10 legs. And you really have to see it to really comprehend its size in the Bleach universe. You know, all of Yami's powers are enhanced, and obviously he's very much stronger. And much like the Hulk, Yami grows stronger as his rage increases. You know, when really pushed really far, he can go to an even larger form that is one of the largest creatures in all of Bleach. So, Yami's accomplishments. He's technically the strongest Espada. It's really hard to come up with anything else because he loses to everyone, unfortunately. But why is he ranked 5th and above Ukiyori? It's probably the main question that I'm going to get. So the list is subjective, and like I said, I just like Yami more. But maybe it's his size and his impressive strength, but it could be his lazy attitude. But regardless, I enjoy this his character more than others so far. And Yuki Lord is great, but Yami was a character that I could connect to a little bit more. Because I always happen to be somewhat of a lazy guy sometimes who sleeps a lot when he gets the, when I get the chance. And if you piss me off, I could become a six, you know, become a mountain of rage, you know? But all jokes aside, Yami is a pretty cool character and like the hollow version of the Hulk. Now, number four, my number four pick is Espada number two, Baragun, with Aging as his aspect of death. Now, he also appeared in episode 145, and he's the former king of Hueco Mundo, after Aizen dethrones him, but privately still views him as the king. But again, originally a skeleton, and when he became a Rankar, he gained skin. I guess that's, you know, that's something, right? And it's interesting how he looks around the same age as Yamamoto. Because he still considers of king, is himself king, Baragun does look down on others and expects him to be treated like one. So, for example, his Rakshion brings his throne to him when they arrive at the fake Katakura town. And he also takes control of the Arrancar after Aizen, Gin, and Tosin are caged in fire. And his accomplishments and his abilities here, you know, Baragun is very intelligent and was able to successfully lead the Arrancar against the Shinigami. And his main abilities revolve around aging and time. You know, for example, he can create a field around him that slows down time for anyone who enters it. And this is why Suifeng is one of the fastest Shinigami, moves slowly around him. Baragun is old school, though. You know, he's an old school hollow, so you won't see any balas or seros. He does use Sonido, though. And his Zanpakuto is an axe called Arrogante. And much like Nonoicha, not a typical sword. No, after releasing his Zanpakuto, Baragun returns to his skeletal appearance, which is badass, I'm sorry. And he gains a new weapon that looks like an axe called Gran Kaida, and it's dark and larger and more lethal. But his strongest ability is Respira, which is a smoke that he releases which ages everything. And this includes both beings and even Kido. His accomplishments. He was the king of Hueco Mundo for a very long time, you know, and he's one of the oldest known hollows. But why is he ranked fourth? Baragun is an interesting character who I wish got more time with. I also wished his anger towards Aizen was more plot relevant than just a reveal at the end. I think they could have done a lot more with that. But he got very unlucky that Hachi showed up, because Baragun would have killed basically everyone if Hachi didn't show up. And as far as I know, no one besides Yamamoto has the ability to combat his power. I love his character and his design, and his resurrection reveals that he looked even better in the anime. I love the manga. I'm a purist like that. But his skeletal appearance in the anime, chef's kiss. Now, number three. I guess no one's really surprised that I have this person at the number three, or having him up this high. But number three is going to have to be the Espada number six, Wurimjal Jagrjez, with destruction as his aspect of death here. He first appeared in episode 116, and Grimjal was probably the most popular with fans among the Espada, and, you know, probably for good reason. I mean, this guy is an awesome from the appearance with the cool blue hair and his attitude. You know, Grimjal is not really a villain, more like an anti-hero or just... he can't stand Aizen, and unlike Baragun, he openly admits it and acts on it. You know, he does not really share the goals and visions of the other Espada. You know, Grimjar only wishes to be the best by defeating the best. And he also grew an obsession to kill Ichigo, who doesn't, and which led him to find any means to fight him. I also wish they made filler episodes where he joins Ichigo's group for like an adventure or some sort, but maybe that would have been a little too shonen cliche, but can you blame me? Now his accomplishments and abilities. Grimjal is a master swordsman and hand-to-hand fighter. Even with just one hand, he can handle a hollowed Shinji. And he's very smart in comics. For example, he fired a small settle to stop Shinji's large one, which saved his life. And I was amazed with his plan to trap Ukiyora so he could fight Ichigo. You know, and Grimmjow has a very fast Zenito and pretty strong Hiero that can tank a lot of damage. Settles and Granrei settles are not off limits to him. His Sanpakuto is called Pantera. And this is one transformation where, after watching it, I felt obligated to watch the whole fight for, like, you know, the 10th millionth time, you know. His accomplishments. He defeated Ichigo twice, was able to outsmart Ukiyora. He does not die, which is impressive because every other spotter besides Hedy Bell dies. Well, I guess Nell is still alive, but he regained his rank as like spotter number 6. But why is he ranked 3rd? I know I love his fight with against Ichigo. It's one of the best in the series. And my favorite aspect is how it almost has no talking and just mostly action. And Grimmjow has my respect for being himself and not caring what others think, you know? And unlike Berrigan, he was openly against Aizen. And unlike the Noicha, Grimmjow actually worked to be the strongest and he really believed in it. He's really cool and one of the most memorable characters in all of Bleach. So that's why he's number 3. Now, number 2. Yeah, I was going to say, there's only 2 left. So you're like, wait, does that mean? Yes, you know what it means. Number 2. So there's only 2 really options left here. But how are they going to stack up? Well, I'll tell you right now, because number 2 is Espada number 3, Tyr Haribel, with Sacrifice as her aspect of death. She first appeared in episode 138, and Hannibal has an interesting outfit that covers the top half of her body all the way to her eyes. And this makes sense as her mask is on her breast, and the outfit is a critical later reveal to her number. But Hannibal is actually the only Espada who cares about her fraction. You know, when they lose to Yamamoto, she is noticeably upset. And I'm going to assume that this leadership quality is one of the reasons why she took over Hueco Mundo at the end of Bleach. I said I was going to keep it anime, almost strictly anime related, but I added a little tidbit because this is from the official Bleach official character book 3 Unmasked, I believe. But Haribel is probably the calmest among the Espada and has a damn good poker face. It's not only that she does not have emotion. Rather, it's the same expression. And also, she's quite tall. It might be the second tallest female in Bleach, besides Isane Koetsu, who is 6'2". I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure Isane and Tyr are the 2 tallest females in Bleach. But Hedy Bell, for her accomplishments and abilities here, she's very powerful, and which makes sense. She's the number 3 Espada, but she also has a very fast Zenito and an excellent sword fighter. Toshiro, who was on the defense for most of the fight, especially early on before she released her Zanpakuto, her Hiero is impressive, considering she barely took any damage from Toshiro's attacks. But what makes it more impressive is that she survived not only 1, but 2 slashes from Aizen with the intent to kill. 2 slashes from Aizen, when Aizen was intending to pretty much put her down. She was able to figure out that Toshiro was not fully concentrating on the fight. Hedubo exploited this as a way to fight Toshiro mentally. And before going into Zanpakuto, I do want to point out how it's very cool when she flung out of her sheath. It was both stylish and a great way to show off. And Tiburon, it's a small sword, but Haribo was able to close the gap with Sonido or with Ola Azul, where she fires an energy projectile from her sword. Her Zanpakuto release completely removes her outfit and replaces it with a bony dress with skeleton shark head on her hand. It reminds me of Megatron's first form in Beast Wars, if anyone's familiar with the show. That may be a reach, though. And the bone dress is quite revealing compared to the other Resurrectrons among the Espada. And one of my favorite things she does is fire a settle. Most of the spider just fired from their hand or mouth. Hildebo fires it from her shark arm, and it's the size of it's impressive and pretty goddamn unique. That makes only her and Yukiura have a unique zero that can be fired in their release form. Her resurrection's main power is water manipulation, which makes sense given the shark themes here. Trident, which is when she fires a highly powerful slash from her sword. Hirviendo is where she can boil any form of water, including ice. La Gota, which is highly pressured water that she can fire as a sharp tooth projectile. And Cascada is when she launches, I think that's the huge surge of high pressure water at her opponents. But her accomplishments is that she survived Aizen and protecting her Fraction in the flashback. But why is she ranked second, you're asking me? Well, I'm not going to lie here. The Hildebo looks kind of factored into the decision of this, ranking that high, because I think she does have a more unique design than some of the other Espada. And besides Isane and Koetu, I don't find any other female in Bleach to be more attractive than Hildebo. Orihime is the queen. But in all seriousness, yeah, Hildebo among the Espada, highly respected. Love her poise. And I think the way she carried herself among her Fraction, I think is pretty much the big aspect here is why I think her character is really cool. But Hildebo is one of the strongest Espada in Bleach and needed just more screen time. She never lost to anyone, I would argue, was on the verge of victory against Toshiro, Lisa, and Hiyori. I like her unique skill set and leadership qualities that she brings to the table. Overall, she is an awesome character that just needed more time to shine. So, on to my number one favorite Espada. Yes, he's number one on my list, and he's number one in the Espada. And that's Espada number Koyote. Stark. Jesus, I can't speak today. But with Solitude as his aspect of death, it's a mere coincidence that my number one pick would also be the number one ranked in the Espada. Stark is kind of like the relaxed version of Grimmjow, besides the eyes and loyalty part. He is apathetic about the Espada and the cause to fight the Shinigami. I think he only joined Aizen because he shows little interest in fighting. He hates fighting against strong opponents, especially. And I love his laid-back attitude because it's a stark. You know, it's a stark contrast to his fighting abilities. And, okay, I'll see myself on that. But before I do, let's do my abilities and accomplishments for Stark here. Stark is the only Espada, and probably hollow, that can fire Setos from different parts of his body without any gestures. He is a Sonido master, and I think he has the fastest Sonido of any Espada. And he can separate his soul, which is who Lilianette Gingerbuck turns out to be. Stark doesn't have his Zanpakuto, instead he combines Lilianette to release his powers. And what makes him the only one to seal his powers in a Durancar instead of a Zanpakuto? And Stark's resurrection form is so cool. Everything from his appearance to the actual power he possesses. You know, I love how he sits in the clouds after releasing his power. You know, Stark's main power is his Seto guns. He has two of them, and both fire Setos, if you were curious. And one can fire rapid weak Setos, while the other fires stronger Setos. And Stark can use Colmillo, which, when he creates two swords, energy swords, and his final ability is the wolves, where he can split Lilianette's soul into wolves that explode on contact. There are much stronger Setos, and even Shinsui comment that the wolves almost killed him. And it's hard to come up with some accomplishments because Stark does not do anything in the series. He barely gets any screen time. I know it's a goddamn shame, but the only one worth noting is that he does have an awesome battle and does recapture Orihime. But why is he ranked number one? Much like Hildebo, Stark is quality over quantity kind of thing. We don't get much, but what we do get is terrific. Among all the Espada, actually had actual empathy for Stark. I related him to the most, and that's why he's on my number one pick here. I wanted him to actually, get a win maybe against Shinsui so much that after his defeat, I actually rooted for Aizen to kill Shinsui. And he, of course, didn't, but Shinsui got beat pretty bad. And I wish that they switched Stark with Yami in terms of screen time. Yeah, but, and so for being the coolest and the most interesting, Stark is my number one Espada in Bleach. Now, let's move on to my final thoughts here. Well, we reached the end of the list. And if you've made it this far, thanks for listening. I love you. You may not agree with any of my ideas here, but you can't deny that hopefully I put a lot of effort into this episode here. And now that I ask you, what is your ranking of the Espada? And do you have Ukiloura higher or lower than me? Let me know if I got something wrong. Please don't hesitate to point that out. But if you like more of these list type episodes, or if you like more Bleach content, make sure that you share this episode and let me know, because it really helps me out. And you can do that with a number of ways. There's a lot of ways you can let me know if you like this episode and want to see more content like this. And that's pretty much is by telling me on Twitter, which is BaseSenpai, which is down in the description of this episode. You can tell me on WeebcastTV on Instagram, also down in the description of this episode. And also, you can donate to my Patreon, which is a very good way to pledge, if you want to pledge some support and let me know that what I'm doing is somewhat entertaining, which you get a lot of cool perks. You get episodes early. There's extra bonus episodes on the Patreon right now that you can listen to if you decide to pledge. And like I said, there's a $1 option, there's a $2 option, and there's a $3 option. Any of those, like I said, if it's feasible for yourself, do please think about it. Also, if you want to donate to the show but not have the extra Patreon benefits or whatever, you just want to show some support out of the goodness of your heart, you can pledge through Anchor. And in the description of this episode, it says how to support this podcast. Hit that Anchor link and it'll take you directly to a page where you can just donate however much you want to the show, just directly to the show. And, like I said, I want to boost up the show and get better guests, improve the quality of the show and all that good stuff. So that's pretty much what it would go to. But other than that, I hope you've enjoyed this episode where we cast lists. My favorite Espada in Bleach from top to, or from bottom to top, least to least favorite to most favorite. And I will see you guys next week with another episode, which I'm doing on 7 Deadly Sins. So make sure you guys check that out next week. But thank you for allowing my voice into your ears and into your homes. My name is Chris, aka C-Dub, aka Maury, aka The Independent Variable, aka he's about to make some more coffee directly after this. And I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.